Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of SB Nation's The Dream Shake, The Dream Take podcast. My name is Mike Brown. We are coming to you live here on Spotify Live on the Sunday night before the 2022 NBA Draft Lottery. So for this week's show, that'll be out tomorrow morning. We appreciate everybody that's going to come join us here on Spotify Live to talk all things NBA lottery and the Houston Rockets. Before we get started on that topic, I do have an apology to give out to Luka Doncic, who on this show multiple times I have been quoted as saying that this guy has not been able to get it done when it mattered most. He has not been able to get his team into the second round of the NBA playoffs. Not only has he done that, as it appears right now, it is a 45-point lead over the Phoenix Suns. So congrats to Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks on moving to the Golden, or playing the Golden State Warriors, I should say, in the Western Conference Finals. I do owe that apology to Luka and the Dallas Mavericks. Best of luck in the Western Conference Finals. I'm not sure if you're a Rockets fan who you're going to root for in Golden State, Dallas. I, for one, will be rooting for the Dallas Mavericks. I in no way will ever root, if I can help it, for the Golden State Warriors. So, with that being said, with that off my chest, it is NBA draft lottery talk starting now until the draft. If you are with us here on Spotify Live, thank you so much. As always, we strive to be the most interactive Houston Rockets podcast in the game. You want to come up and give me your thoughts on the NBA lottery, what the Rockets should do, what you're hoping for. Pretty easy. Hit that request to speak button. Come on up on stage. I'd love to talk with you guys. We'll go for about a half hour tonight. So hit that request to speak button. Come up on stage. Give me your thoughts about what is going to happen on Tuesday night. On that note, I, for one, I was thinking about this today. If you're a Rockets fan, what should you be hoping for on Tuesday night? And I say that with a couple things in mind. It goes without saying that if you're a Rockets fan, you want the number one pick in the draft. However, I think Rockets fans should want the number one pick in the draft for a multitude of reasons. The first being that there's so much talk that it's the top three and then everybody else, and that's Chet Holmgren, Jabari Smith, Paolo Banchero. As I'm watching these games this weekend, right, think about today when Boston beat Milwaukee. Well, why did Boston beat Milwaukee? In my opinion, it had nothing to do with the interior presence for the Boston Celtics. It was all about Jason Tatum, the wings, and the backcourt. Same thing with what Dallas is doing right now to Phoenix. The Mavericks are doing what they're doing without a... They're doing it with Dwight Powell in the middle. And with no disrespect to Dwight Powell, but he's not thought to be one of the better big men in the league. He's a guy. You know, tonight he has 6 points and he has 5 rebounds. You know, the Mavericks, Doncic has 35. Jalen Brunson has 24. Spencer Dinwiddie has 30 points. What do all three of those guys have in common? Jalen Brunson is a point guard. Doncic is 6'6". Dinwiddie's 6'6 as well. None of those three guys are big men. Look at what happened earlier in the day in the Boston-Milwaukee game. Boston gets 27 points out of Grant Williams, who's a forward. He's not a, you know, an interior big man. He's a power forward. He's a forward, though, right? You look at Grant Williams, and he's 6'6". He's not a big man. Now, if they play him at the power forward spot, more power to Boston. But he's 6'6". He's a forward that can go get you points. Jason Tatum, 23 points. Marcus Smart had 11 points. Brown had 19 points. Horford only had 6 points. Pritchard kicked in with 14 points. So while that's a small sample size and what you should look for in your draft thought process, teams right now are showing you, Golden State included, look what Golden State's doing. You have Draymond Green. Draymond Green is he's a center by today's standard, but they're winning these series because of guys like Klay and guys like Steph Curry and whatever the hell his name is, who's making himself a whole lot of money. For some reason, his name is evading me, but I'll get that name here in just a second. But the guard, God, this is killing me. Whatever his name is, hold on, give me. I'm not going to be able to continue the show without knowing his name. Jordan Poole. That's what I've been thinking of. You know, they're playing Looney 35 minutes, but Looney's giving him, you know, good rebounding numbers. He's giving him good points off the bench. But they're showing you that you can, the blueprint to winning in today's NBA is, number one, you need two superstars at least, I would say. Miami is kind of dispelling that a little bit with Kyle Lowry being down. But you need to have multiple stars, and you've got to have not one, not two, but multiple guys who are 6'4 to 6'8, 6'9, can handle the ball, can play defense, can give you exactly what you need on the perimeter, either shooting the ball or playing defense or being able to switch on multiple different types of guys. You can't tell me, if you're the Houston Rockets and you land the number one pick in the draft, there's only one guy, in my opinion, that can help you become part of the blueprint to win for an extended period of time, and that is Jabari Smith from Auburn. That has been my guy for weeks. That continues to be my guy as we get closer to Tuesday night. And my thought process behind the Rockets getting the number one pick in the draft, number one pick in the draft, is you have got to nail that pick, because that doesn't come around very often. The ability to draft number one, that's why, in my opinion, come Tuesday night, the Rockets have a 14% chance at the number one pick, along with Orlando and Detroit. So there are three teams who have the best shot at winning the number one pick in the draft. That's us, the Houston Rockets, the Orlando Magic, and Detroit. The way I see it, and I know that it's, you know, the odds and ping pong balls and all this, you will not convince me that the NBA does not have some sort of say in who gets the number one pick in the draft. I do not see Detroit getting the number one pick in back-to-back years. I just don't see it. I think if the NBA had its way, they would want their number one pick going to a relatively decent-sized market, which to me takes Orlando out of it. It leaves the Houston Rockets. Do I think that there is a... And Jonathan says, if you believe that, then the game loses all integrity. Okay, look, I think the NBA has had an integrity problem in the past, i.e. Tim Donaghy betting on games. I also think, look at years like LeBron James. When LeBron James comes out, you think that it was a coincidence that Cleveland ended up with the number one pick with him being an Ohio kid? No, it absolutely has something to do with it. I'll give you a third instance. You're going to tell me that it's crazy that the year that Minnesota got the number one pick in the draft and took Anthony Edwards, it was relatively right around that time that the Timberwolves went up for sale. So you don't think it was enticing to people looking to buy that franchise with the number one pick being attached to it? No, they're going to make their money regardless. But to me, yeah, the NBA definitely has some sort of say in where that number one pick goes. I could be wrong, but it's just how I feel. If somebody, you know, listening right now on Spotify Live wants to come up on stage and dispel that rumor, come on up, defend your position. I just think that, what's it called? Jonathan makes another great point. You think it's a coincidence that the Rockets, who were going into a new stadium and end up with the number one pick in the year that they draft Yao Ming? No, that is not by chance. And then the Rockets get the naming rights, go to Toyota? No, not shocking whatsoever. So that's how I think. So in order, so let's round out. The Rockets, the Orlando Magic, the Detroit Pistons all have a 14% chance at the number one pick. The Oklahoma City Thunder have a 12.5% chance at the number one pick. And then Indiana has a 10.5% chance. So those are the five teams with double-digit percentage chance, a double-digit percentage points chance at the number one pick. The Rockets are going to be drafting somewhere between 1 and 5. We know that everybody is hoping, they're thinking, they're wishing, they're praying for a top three pick so they can end up with Chet, Paolo, or Jabari. Now, Sean says, I trade back if I got the number one pick. It's a very interesting thought. I wouldn't. I wouldn't, because it depends on how far you're going to drop down. You know, give me a trade to ponder, Sean. If you want to move out from number one, if you're the Rockets, you cannot go, you can't go lower than five. Because for anybody who's thinking, well, if you trade down, where are you going to trade down to? You know, what type of guys are you going to be looking at? You know, if you go beyond five, because in my opinion, the top five are Paolo, Jabari Smith, Chet Holmgren. I think Jaden Ivey goes in the top five. I think then it's a toss-up between Keegan Murray from Iowa and, you know, Shadon Sharp, a guy like that. If the Rockets can come out of this with, you know, Sharp, Ivy, Holmgren, Murray, Smith, Paolo, I'm okay. That's six. If you're the Rockets, you can't go below six. But here's the thing, right? And the question that I'm going to ask, because we're going to have a show on Tuesday, Jeremy and I, so we'll be talking a lot more things draft prospect related once we have a better idea of where the Rockets are going to be drafting. The thing you have to ask yourself, and Sean and Jonathan, you guys are loyal fans, so I'm talking directly to you guys. Of the guys that are available that I just named, Paolo Banchero, power forward Duke, Jabari Smith, Keegan Murray, Chet Holmgren, Jaden Ivey, Shadon Sharp. How many of those guys realistically can help you take that next step in the franchise's development? Because to me, Paolo doesn't do anything for me. He just doesn't. I think Paolo is another guy. He's 6'10". You already have not one, but two guys who are 6'10 on the roster. That's Alperen Şengün and Christian Wood. Most people think that they're going to move on from Wood. If they move on from Wood, I like Paolo. But who is Paolo going to guard on a Golden State Warriors, for example? You're not going to put him on, you can't put him on Clay. You can't put him on Poole. You can't put him on Steph. Could you put him on a Draymond Green? Potentially. Draymond Green, physicality-wise, would eat Paolo up. You know, Paolo is 250, but he's a lean 250. Like, that's my problem, is what do you do with a guy like a Paolo in a playoff series? Because that's what you have to start talking about, right? Is the Rockets, if they have the best offseason they can have, which is, let's say, taking Christian Wood in number 16, flipping those two guys for a ready now piece, and then getting the number one pick, you sign a free agent or two, maybe not top level guys, but the Rockets could sniff the playoff, the play-in tournament next year. As goofy and as stupid as I think that that tournament is, the Rockets could be a part of that. When you look at the teams that made the play-in tournament this year, I'll give you a perfect example. If you're the Rockets, could you play a guy like a Paolo Banchero on a Dwight Powell for Dallas? Maybe. Powell would eat him alive on the boards, though. like Paolo is a nice player. Do I think he's going to be the worthy of a number one pick? No, I don't. You move on to the next guy, which according to CBS Sports, if the Rockets were to get the number one pick, they would take Paolo. If the Rockets get the number one pick in the draft and they draft Paolo Banchero, my early draft grade without investigating more tape on Paolo, I'd give it a B minus. I think it's a nice pick. I think it's a nice pick depending on what else rounds out the roster. It doesn't fit for me, right? Because when you have a guy like a Jabari Smith, just for context, right? Paolo is 6'10", 250. Jabari is 6'10", 220. The early comps on a Jabari Smith, he's Kevin Durant light. He can create off the dribble. He's an elite outside shooter. He shoots 42% from three compared to 33.8% for Paolo. Now, granted, those are only this past year. Can both of those guys improve in those spots? Yeah, potentially. The biggest thing about Jabari Smith is Jabari Smith, when you're watching these playoff games, the way these teams are winning playoff games, right, is having that elite, not good, elite wing presence with guys that can create off the dribble and can help facilitate the offense for other guys on the court. Every team has one. At least one, right? The Mavericks have two. The Mavericks have Luka Doncic and they've got Spencer Dinwiddie. All the props to the Dallas Mavericks at the deadline for acquiring a guy like a Spencer Dinwiddie who has done nothing but balled out for them, and they're going to the Western Conference Finals. They deserve all the props in the world. Boston's got guys up and down that roster that can defend, that can play hard and play with each other in a way that makes the rest of the roster better. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, guys like that are just, they're so hard to come by. And it's not a great example because those teams have been built over multiple years, but they had to start with guys like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And when you look at what guys like Grant Williams did, Grant Williams played 39 minutes today, had 27 points. Guys like Peyton Pritchard, 14 points. And what's so crazy, and I don't want to get on a tangent on this, is they switched their coach. They got rid of Brad Stevens, put him in the front office, went with Ime Udoka, and they're in the Eastern Conference Finals less than a year later. And this is for the crowd that I'm still chanting from the rooftops that the Rockets will never be anything of substance until they get rid of Steven Silas. The way that you can help a guy like a Steven Silas who has shown with a lack of talent, has had troubles creating an offensive system that works in today's NBA, is you draft a guy like a Jabari Smith who can get his own shot whenever he wants. And he does so many different things well. You know, he averaged 7.5 rebounds last year with Auburn in a stacked front court that allowed, Walker Kessler, who's going to be a first-round pick as well. So they both were able to flourish there. Sean says, Jaden Ivey and Shadon Sharp are prototypes for what's working more so than Jabari. You get Jabari to differentiate yourself and hope he gets a better handle. Here's my thing with Shadon Sharp. Why would you draft Shadon Sharp if you just drafted Jalen Green? It doesn't make any sense to me unless you move down and you pick up another piece. I mean, Shadon Sharp is a 6'6 shooting guard. He's a little bit bigger than Jalen Green, but I like Shadon Sharp, but it doesn't make any sense for me when you already drafted Jalen Green. Jaden Ivey is a guy that is a really, really interesting prospect because Jaden Ivey is would fit in really well with this team if you move on from Kevin Porter Jr. or if you can get Kevin Porter Jr. to accept a role coming off of the bench. Would I take Jaden Ivey with the number one overall pick in the draft with the other guys that are on the board? No, I wouldn't. And I'm a little taken back, Sean, when you say that our prototypes for what's working more so than Jabari. I mean, I don't see how that is. I mean, Jabari at 6'10", can guard multiple positions, shoots 43% from the three-point line, can get his shot relatively easily at the collegiate level. It'll be more difficult in the NBA level. But as we've seen, it took guys like Jason Tatum multiple years to get comfortable, getting his own shot. That's the thing is Jabari. I'm a big fan of Jabari Smith. There's not another guy. And this is why it's so cringeworthy to feel like this, but I wish we were talking about the Rockets being this bad and having the best opportunity at the number one pick in next year's lottery for Victor Wembanyama. Because that guy is better than any prospect in this draft, and it's not even – I think it's close. But the Rockets, if they get the number one overall pick in the draft and they stay there and they draft somebody, I don't see a way that they're going to be in contention for the number one pick in the draft in next year's draft. So it's all about getting better as much as possible with that pick. And for me, I've done enough research on these other guys that Jabari Smith, in my opinion, is the safest pick in this draft if the Rockets were at the number one spot. If they're at the number two spot, right? And we'll break down more of these scenarios on Tuesday's show. But if they were in the number two spot, and let's say Jabari does go number one, I really don't know where I would go with the number two pick at the moment. If you had a gun to my head and say, Mike, you are on the clock, Jabari Smith is off the board, who are you taking? I would probably go Paolo Banchero as of right now. If I had to put myself in the Rocket shoes, that's who they probably would take in that scenario. Again, I wouldn't love that pick. I would probably go Jaden Ivey. I think that as a facilitator, as a defender, as to the things that he could bring to this team, I think that's who I would take. And before we wrap the show up, good friend of the show, Sean, coming up on stage. What's up, brother? How are you?
Man, doing great, Michael.
Good, brother. What's going on?
I guess ahead of the lottery on Tuesday. I mean, let's think, like, what's our I mean, I know we want number one, but what's the ideal way the rest of this shakes out? Because let's say you can trade down. Let's say the Rockets, like, we may be in love with Jabari, but the Rockets aren't in love with Jabari. So let's say, all right, he's one, and there's somebody who probably will really want him at one. Like, who do we want to slot in at 2, 3, 4, and 5 to make it viable? I mean, you know,
I don't know, man. See, that's the thing is, you say there's not a guy like a Jabari Smith in the league. That's just not true. I mean, look at guys like Durant. Look at guys, and I'm not comparing those two, but I'm talking about bigger, taller guys that can handle the rock. Giannis, another good example. I mean, Jason Tatum comes to mind. What is Jason Tatum? Jason Tatum's what, 6'8"? I want to say, I'm looking it up right now. I mean, there's no difference between he's 6'8". I mean, but 6'8 and 6'10 are basically the same thing. Jason Tatum comes in at 2'10". So they're, you know, 1'6'10, 220, 1'6'8, 210, right? I mean, are you asking me how I would build the big board for the Rockets?
No. I would say, yeah, I mean, I'd take that back. I mean, Tatum is as close to what Jabari is right now. I was just more thinking you're probably seeing more – there are probably more players left like Shadon Sharp and like a Jaden Ivey, that prototype, the athletic, you know, the athletic guards that can shoot and run up and down the court versus, you know, there's one Jason Tatum. I mean, that's it. I mean, and then you'd have Jabari. So that's why if you got Jabari, you would really differentiate yourself, because otherwise,
right,
you only ever.
Well, he's also, yeah, he also helps you the most, right? And this is just one offseason or one postseason, right, Sean? But my point is that it's happening across the league. Denver loses in the, what, first round with Jokic? Now, it would be different if they had Jamal Murray and if they had Michael Porter Jr. But Philadelphia gets knocked out with Embiid. Milwaukee just got knocked out with Brook Lopez. Just because you have that big man does not mean anything in today's NBA. And that's the thing is, to me, I wouldn't touch Chet Holmgren with a 5-foot pole. I just wouldn't. I don't think he's – if the Rockets land the number one pick in the draft versus the number three pick, like if the Rockets get the number three pick, like let's talk scenario, right? Let's say Paolo and Jabari go 1-2. The Rockets are at number three. Okay, let me ask you, Sean. Who would you take, Chet Holmgren or Jaden Ivey, if you were the Rockets at three? And you had to pick. You can't trade down.
Ivey.
Yeah, see, I would take Ivey too. The thing about Chet just doesn't get me excited. Could he be a guy that you could build around in the front court? Yeah, he could be. But, I mean, you're going to make that bet over a guy like a Jaden Ivey that you could pair with Jalen Green for the next 10 years? I'm not passing up that chance. There's no way in hell.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, you take Ivey every time because the guy's just a better guard. And sure, you can find a way to make that work. And you have no idea what you're going to have with Kevin Porter Jr. anyway. So you're not really drafting over KPJ at that point. You're drafting to compliment everyone. But no, I'd go with that in a heartbeat.
Okay, so let me ask you this question, because I know I'm going to get heat for this, and I really don't care because I said it last year and I'll say it again. If the Rockets do not get the number one pick in the draft this past year, was a colossal failure. Failure. Is that a fair statement? And people killed me last year for saying this, and they said it because, well, Mike, you can't determine the ping pong balls. You couldn't do this. No. I think people – let me reiterate why I say it was a colossal failure. Because you put your fans through hell the last 2 years. Fair or unfair, Sean?
Oh, no, fair. Okay. And it hurts. It is a extreme disappointment if you wind up with the worst record 2 years in a row and you can't get the number one pick either year.
That's why I say that, is because it's not just not getting the number one overall pick. It's the moves that this team has done that has put themselves, and they can, and people can agree with this or disagree with this, the writing is on the wall. The moves that this team has made has proven to the fan base that they do not care about winning. They just don't. Now, I have been one to say that I think the Rockets got an F- with that Harden deal. The deal looks a lot better now for the Rockets, but it's still not a win because you chose to kick the bucket down the road instead of bringing ready-made NBA talent to help this team win now. And I get the whole rebuilding and, you know, assets down the line, yada, yada, yada. We're talking about guys that can, in that trade with draft picks, that are in middle school right now. Like, I don't care about that. The payoff for the moves that this team has made over the past 2 years is getting the number one overall pick in the draft. And if they don't come away with that Tuesday night, then the last 2 years, not the last 2 years, this past year was a colossal, maybe not failure, but it was a waste of time. It maybe is a better way to put it.
Yeah, it feels that way unless you can, you know, get someone, unless you're drafting two and the team is drafting one, take somebody that you didn't want anyway. So, like, if you somehow, I don't know, OKC gets one and we're two and OKC takes Chet Holmgren at one, and then you can still get Jabari at two. I mean,
for yeah, sure. I'm at, for yeah, sure. I mean, just okay. Much better put. Yeah. It just, to me, like that's where I'm coming from is the way I'm a results driven fan. I don't care how we get there. It doesn't matter. Like, none of it matters. I don't care if Garrison Matthews plays 40 minutes a night, if we're winning, I don't care who gets the points. I don't care who gets the credit. The way I see it, this team will benefit most. I know, crazy as it sounds, but like, the payoff to me, Sean, and everybody listening right now, is the number one overall pick in the draft, because it will build excitement. Like, when was the last time, Sean, honestly, you felt excitement being a Rockets fan? True, bona fide excitement of like, okay, I'm down with this. Not like, oh, okay, they won a game excitement. I'm talking about like, I like the direction of the team. I'm excited to be a Rockets fan right now.
The day we got Chris Paul in the trade.
See? Yeah, that's about right. I mean, like, I loved when we drafted Jalen Green. I think Jalen Green can be a star, but like, true excitement. I was giddy. I wouldn't call myself giddy because I knew what was coming the entire year. They were going to be awful once I knew Steven Silas was going to stay. So that's why I'm coming from the perspective of get the number one pick, because then the Rockets hold their own destiny. Then they have the chance of, this is who we want. So any final thoughts before we wrap up, Sean?
Now I'm just looking forward. I mean, I want the ping pong balls to bounce our way. I'm really interested in how it shakes out. And I don't know if you've ever done the Tankathon thing, but I've ran a couple of sims on Tankathon, and I've had a couple of times where the Oklahoma City Thunder wound up with both their picks in the top four. So I'm really hoping that that doesn't happen, because that would just be really painful.
I don't know, man. We're going to find out Tuesday, brother. You have a good week.
Yep. You will. You too.
Thanks, bro. This has been another episode of SB Nation's The Dream Shakes, The Dream Take Podcast. My name is Mike Brown. If you want to follow me on Twitter, head on over to Twitter, search at @BSW_MB. You can follow my incredibly talented co-host, Jeremy Brenner, at Jeremy Brenner. Search at The Dream Take to follow The Dream Take. Search Dream Shake SBN to follow all things Dream Shake all the time. Head on over to thedreamshake.com. for all things Houston Rockets every day. The details have not been decided on for Tuesday for the NBA lottery, but I believe we will be live here on Spotify Live for the actual NBA lottery. So as it's going, we will be live here to talk pre, during, and post all things NBA lottery 2022. It has been an absolute pleasure to be with you guys tonight. And until next time, Rockets fans, go!